shouts of the deep desert and the chittering and sighing of the gods who had faded away to mere djinns and voices on the air. Gods with no more believers, not even one. One was just enough. Gods who had been left behind. And the thing about Brother's flame of belief was this: in all the citadel, in all the day, it was the only one the god had found. Fryett was trying to pray. He hadn't done so for a long time. Oh, of course, there had been the 8 compulsory prayers every day, but in the pit of the wretched night he knew them for what they were: a habit, a time for thought, perhaps, and method of measuring time. He wondered if he'd ever prayed, if he'd ever opened heart and mind to something out there, or up there. He must have done, mustn't he? Perhaps when he was young. He couldn't even remember that. Blood had washed away the memories. It was his fault. It had to be his fault. He'd been to Ephib before, and had rather liked the white marble city on its rock overlooking the blue circle sea. And he'd visited Djelibebi, those madmen in their little river valley who believed in gods with funny heads and put their dead in pyramids. He'd even been to far Ankh Morpork, across the water, where they'd worship any god at all so long as he or she had money. Yes, Ankh Morpork, where there were streets and streets of gods, squeezed together like a deck of cards, and none of them wanted to set fire to anyone else, or at least any more than was normally the case in Ankh Morpork. They just wanted to be left in peace so that everyone went to heaven or hell in their own way. And he'd drunk too much tonight, from a secret cache of wine, whose discovery would deliver him into the machinery of the Inquisitors within 10 minutes. Yes, you could say this for old Vorbis. Once upon a time the Quisition had been bribable, but not any more. The chief exquisitor had gone back to fundamentals. Now there was a democracy of sharp knives. Better than that, in fact. The search for heresy was pursued even more vigorously among the higher levels in the church. Vorbis had made it clear: the higher up the tree, the blunter the saw. Give me that old-time religion. He squeezed his eyes shut again, and all he could see was the horns of the temple, or fragmented suggestions of the carnage to come, or the face of Vorbis. He'd liked that white city. Even the slaves had been content. There were rules about slaves. There were things you couldn't do to slaves. Slaves had value. He'd learned about the turtle there. It had all made sense. He'd thought, it sounds right. It makes sense. But sense or not, that thought was sending him to hell. Vorbis knew about him. He must do. There were spies everywhere. Sasho had been useful, but how much had Vorbis got out of him? Had he said what he knew? Of course he'd say what he knew. Something went snap inside Fryett. He glanced at his sword hanging on the wall. And why not? After all, he was going to spend all eternity in 1,000 hells. The knowledge was freedom, of a sort. When the least they could do to you was everything, then the most they could do to you suddenly held no terror. If he was going to be boiled for a lamb, then he might as well be roasted for a sheep. He staggered to his feet and after a couple of tries got the sword belt off the wall. Vorbis's quarters weren't far away. If he could manage the steps, one stroke, that's all it would take. He could cut Vorbis in half without trying, and maybe nothing would happen afterwards. There were others who felt like him, somewhere. Or anyway, he could get down to the stables, be well away by dawn, get to Ephib, maybe, across the desert. He reached the door and fumbled for the handle. It turned of its own accord. Fryett staggered back as the doors swung inwards. Vorbis was standing there, in the flickering light of the oil lamp. His face registered polite concern.
"Excuse the lateness of the hour, my lord," he said, "but I thought we should talk about tomorrow."
The sword clattered out of Fryett's hands. Vorbis leaned forward.
"Is there something wrong, brother?" he said.
He smiled and stepped into the room. 2 hooded inquisitors slipped in behind him.
"Brother,"
Vorbis said again, and shut the door.
"How is it in there?"
said Brother.
"I'm going to rattle around like a pea in a pot,"
grumbled the tortoise.
"I could put some more straw in. And look, I've got these."
A pile of green stuff dropped on Om's head.
"From the kitchen," said Brother. "Peelings and cabbage. I stole them," he added. "But then I thought it can't be stealing if I'm doing it for you."
The fetid smell of the half-rotten leaves suggested strongly that Brother had committed his